Have your Bibles. I'd like you to turn with me today to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, Luke chapter 15. While you're turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, I'm going to share a little bit more tonight in the evening service about our ministry at Go International, but let me just invite you over here on the Asbury table. I have some information about the ministries of Go International. It's one of our prayer cards. It has our family, and I'd love for you to take one of those and be praying for Cheryl and I and our family as we travel around the country and around the world. And there's also a sign-up sheet there that we have a newsletter called Keeping Up with the Joneses, and we'd love for you to sign up for that. It's a free newsletter and kind of lets you know where we're traveling, what we're doing, and ways that you can be involved in our ministry and know where we're at. A lot of people know that we're down here at Taylor County this week and are praying for us, and we appreciate everyone who lifts us up in prayer. Luke chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered round to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable, which there were three. I want to jump down to verse 25 in the same chapter, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 25. It says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he said, and replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.'" Will you pray with me? Father, we pray in these next few moments that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. I pray, Lord, as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture, that You'll reveal new insights to us. And God, I pray that our eyes would be open, our ears attentive, and our hearts penetratable by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would hear a special word from You today. And so we give You this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 15 could be described as the parable of lost things. Begins the parable, Jesus said, He told them this parable. As I said, there are really three lost things in this passage of Scripture. There is the parable of the lost sheep in verses 4 through 7. There is the parable of the lost coin, verse 8 through 10. And then verse 11 through verse 32 is traditionally known as the parable of the lost son. And yet a closer look, a closer investigation in this passage of Scripture would describe that this passage really has a parable for lost things. There's a lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. There are really two lost sons in this passage of Scripture. Let me describe for you a little bit between these two sons. There's the lost son who strayed, went away, and the lost son who stayed right there on the father's property. One son is in the far country, the other is far away from the father, even though he's never left the household. One son wasted his inheritance on riotous living, and the other wasted his inheritance on self-righteous living. There is one son who realized that he was in need, and in fact, he says it was in that moment he realized he was in want, and he goes back to the father. The other refused to even recognize his sinful nature or his sinful need, and never ever, even though he was around the father, never ever repented of the sin that we're about to see. One recognized his own sin. The other could only recognize the sins of everyone else except himself. One had a sinful past. Other had a sinful present. The older son had not wandered away, but he was far from where God would have him to be in the kingdom of God. This parable of these two lost sons. There were virtues to be found in this older son. Let me suggest to you several virtues that we find in this passage of Scripture. Verse 12, he didn't squander his inheritance. He was a good manager. We find very clearly in verse 12 that he maintained with great discipline the things that he had been entrusted with. Verse 25 also tells us he was a very hard worker. He worked very hard for his father and never failed to work hard. Verse 29 tells us he served faithfully over many years. It wasn't just a short period of time that he had maintained this hard work and diligence of what had been entrusted to him. He was a faithful servant for many years. Verse 29, it tells us that he had always obeyed his father. And yet he never brought disgrace on the family name, like maybe the younger son when he went out and he spent his entire inheritance on wild, riotous living. But while there were virtues to be found in this older brother, there were many vices. It's interesting today, I mentioned this once in one of my messages this week, that seems to be me that in the church today we have such a focus on the abominable sins, and there seems to be a kind of a lesser thought or attention given to what would be called the acceptable sins that I'm going to talk about here in this passage of Scripture. There's a lot of focus on the younger brother and his wild, riotous living and all those kind of sinful things. And yet it seems to me that the older brother could possibly represent some of us more than the younger brother. If you have a piece of paper, I'd like to suggest with you some of the sins of the spirit of this elder brother that we see so clearly in this passage of Scripture. And there's so many. We're going to fly through this morning, and you may want to write these down and write the verse of Scripture, and you can study this a little bit later on this week. But the elder brother represents some sins that I believe are as abominable to God as the ones we see in here represented in the sins of the younger brother. First of all, the spirit of the elder brother, I would suggest to you this morning, is an angry spirit. The spirit of the elder brother is an angry spirit. In verse 28, you see the context. The brother's out in the field and he's working very hard. He's carrying on his virtues that we talked about just a few moments ago. As he comes in from the field and working hard in the field all day, he begins to hear music as he gets a little closer to the house. He knows that something different is going on today, and he begins to hear some things he doesn't hear normally when he's coming home. The closer he gets, the louder the music becomes, and he begins to inquire the occasion of the celebration about why this music is going on. Then he gets a little closer, and he said, "What's the music all about?" And they said, Your brother that was lost, who went out and did the wild, riotous living, he's back, and your father's gone out to meet him, and he's back, and your father's killed the fatted calf, and we're celebrating that your lost brother is now found." And it's at this moment that we begin to think that in the church we should be going, "Yes, my brother's back. The younger son is home." And what does the Bible say he did? It said when he heard, meanwhile the older son was in the field, he came home, and he heard the music and dancing, and he asked the servant, "What was going on? Your brother has come home," he replied. "Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has seen him. He's safe and sound." The older brother became, what was it? Angry. Angry. I like the way that the Amplified Bible translates that. It says this, "But the elder brother was angry with deep-seated wrath." Deep-seated wrath. You see, one of the sins of the spirit of the elder brother is anger. It's interesting. It reminds me of the story of Jonah in chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. God sent him to Nineveh to preach repentance. And so he finally runs from God, and he finally gets to where he's supposed to be. And the people repent. I'm thinking, man, if the whole crowd repented and got right with God, I'd be writing about that in my next newsletter, wouldn't you? And what's he do? He's angry. He's angry that God didn't smite these people in judgment for what he'd done. He became angry. And I love that verse 3. It said, "The Lord, take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." And God said to him, "Have you any right to be angry? Have you any right to be angry?" And it strikes me today, the elder brothers within the congregations of those called Christians that carry among them an angry spirit. If things don't go the way they want it to go. Reminding me of Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 16, the story of the workers who they're greeting on a wage to be paid to them. And when the owner of the vineyard decides that he's going to pay other people the same amount of money, you know what they did? They didn't rejoice that their needs were taken care of. They became what? Angry. One of the sins in the spirit of the elder brother within the church today is an angry spirit. And it's amazing to me, even people, listen to me, don't run me off the camp yet. Even the people that call themselves sanctified, how they can go from 0 to 60 in anger just like that. Anger. The spirit of the elder brother is a spirit of anger. The spirit of the elder brother, number two, is a stubborn and rebellious spirit. What's the music all about? They're celebrating. Your brother, which was lost, is now back. He's found. Hey, there's a great party going on inside. Come on inside. And listen to what the second part of chapter 15, verse 28 says. And he would not go in. It's as if there's this rebellious, stubborn spirit within this elder brother. A spirit of the elder brother is often a spirit of stubbornness and rebellion. So, okay, they're in there celebrating. I'm angry. And I'm just going to stay right out here. He tried to make a statement to everyone else by staying outside. He tried to make a point through his pouting. Have you ever seen anyone like that? I mean, they're not going to yell and scream. They're angry inside. And they're just going to stay outside a little bit till everyone says, wonder why they're outside. Wonder why they're not coming in. And they've got that Holy Ghost look on their face. That's not actually the Holy Ghost look, but it's a look. It's a look like they're trying to make a point. I'm going to pout till they know that I don't like that. I've heard pastors tell me, Brother Mark was talking about things that happen to pastors in the church. I've had pastors tell me how people don't like the pastor and they'll just stare them down in a service. Just stare them down. A stubborn and rebellious spirit. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself on the day of God's wrath, and His righteous judgments will be revealed. You see, the spirit of the elder brother is an angry spirit. It's a stubborn and rebellious spirit. Number three, it's an arrogant spirit. It's an arrogant spirit. Not only would he not go in, finally the father kind of recognizes that the older brother's out there pouting. He kind of sees his face And I hate this part of the story because the father's in there celebrating with his younger son who was lost, who's now found. Some of people saying, why is your older son out there? Why is he out there? Why wouldn't he come in? And so the father has to leave the party to go out and kind of massage this a little bit. And come on, man, we'd love you to come in. And he's out there just pouting. And there's about the only happiness we see in this story is when the father comes out. It's like he finally pouted long enough that he gets him outside. Like, I'm going to prove my point here. And so the father's saying, come on, man, your brother is lost and he's back. Now he's safe. We had no idea where he was at or what he was doing. And listen to what the young son says, the older son says to the father. All these years, I never disobeyed. And I want to say, really? All these years, and you've never transgress your father? Never at any time? Never? Ever? You see, the spirit in the elder brother is a spirit of arrogance. And it's an arrogant spirit. And it's kind of the religious leaders of Jesus' day walked around with this arrogant spirit. God, I thank you. And they could pray. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that I'm not like these other people over here. Because while they're sinners, I never. And while we can see the speck in our brother's eye, we can't see the plank within our own eye. And while we can see all the sin in our brother's eye, we can't see the angry spirit, the stubborn spirit, the rebellious spirit, the arrogant spirit that lives right within our own heart. It's a self-righteous spirit. In Luke chapter 18, as I mentioned a second ago, it's like the Pharisees who were praying thus within themselves. It wasn't going any farther. It was all about themselves. The elder brother is using a bit of sarcasm here in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. He's giving his father a piece of his mind. He could. There's two words that are used there. All these years I've served, I've never let you go. I've never failed you. And he could have used a more softer word used in the Greek that would describe the servant. But he uses this word. He said, all these years I have slaved for you. There's an exaggeration of all I've done for you. It's as if to say, after all I've done for you, and I've never ever sinned against you, and this is what I get out of it. The elder brother is an angry spirit. It's a stubborn and rebellious spirit. It's an arrogant spirit. Number four, it's a resentful spirit. All these years, I've never, and I've slaved for you, he says. And then he goes on in verse 29b, and these many years, you never. Now notice this. The arrogant spirit says, I never. But the resentful spirit says, you never. Interesting. While he's pointing how perfect he is and how he's never transgressed the Father's plan or purposes, then he looks at his father and says, you, after all this, you give him the fatted calf. And all these years, I've never even got a little goat from you. You never did for me. The resentful spirit is a jealous spirit. It's a spirit that sees something good happening to someone else. And while they look at it and say, well, I never did this and I never did that. I never did anything wrong. And all they do is for them and for them and for them. It's an arrogant spirit and it's a resentful spirit. And it becomes a jealous spirit in the lives of other people. I didn't get to make merry with my friends, he said, and I've stayed there all these years, never done anything wrong. You see, the young goat is contrasted with the fatted calf. Look what he got. And look what I get out of this. Nothing. The fatted calf was kept for festive occasions. The goat would have been known as the extreme opposite in that culture. The spirit of the elder brother is an angry spirit, a stubborn spirit, an arrogant spirit, a resentful spirit. It's also a negative spirit. Verse 24. And so the party is getting louder and louder as the music begins to play and more people are coming to the celebration. And notice it says, they began to be merry. It wasn't just the father. It wasn't just the hired workers that had come together. More and more people are coming around the party. More and more people are celebrating. More and more people are walking by the elder brother who refused to go in. I imagine more and more people going, hey, what's wrong with him? Why is he so upset? Why is he angry outside? Why is he so upset? Man, it's a big party. And it's getting louder and louder and louder. And while they are becoming merry, the older brother was not joining that crowd. He wasn't joining in. Listen to this. People with the spirit of the elder brother, they cannot celebrate with others. They can't rejoice with others. They can't enjoy others when they're celebrating. They are joyless. Joyless. Because while God's doing something for someone else, what about me? And they become very negative. While everyone else is celebrating, while everyone else is being joyful, the one thing we hear in the spirit of this elder brother as he speaks to his father is this negative, negative, negative spirit that begins to completely control his thoughts, his mind, his spirit, and his actions. Let me tell you something. It's troubling to me. In the holiness movement, we talk about being entirely sanctified, and I hear a lot of negativism coming out of our mouths. And we talk about, because we're so holy, well, we've never done this. And then God, why is God blessing these people and doing this and all that? And we become very negative. Listen, some of the people who have experienced holiness should be the happiest people in the world. And sometimes we're the most critical, negative people. And I sometimes think, listen, we have the best doctrine on entire sanctification. And I think that in our Wesleyan movements, we have the true understanding of what the Scripture talks about in this clean life, and we're killing it because of our actions that are more like the spirit of the elder brother than they are the celebrations that are going on in the lives of people who are coming to know Christ. It's a negative spirit. It's also a spirit of contempt. Verse 30. I find this interesting. It's a parable of two sons, right? Which means they have the same father. And the older brother, the spirit, the one who has the spirit of the elder brother, when the father comes out, he's still pleading with him to come in and to join in on the celebration. And he's being negative, he's being resentful, he's being stubborn, he's being arrogant, he's being angry. And then he becomes full of contempt. So what's contempt mean? We need to call on our lawyer here for that. It's willful disobedience or disrespect for the authority of a court or a legislative body. A manner that is generally disrespectful and contemptuous. Open disrespect for a person or a thing. Lack of respect accompanied by a feeling of intense dislike. That's what the word contempt means. And listen to the older brother as he looks at his father and says this, "Look, this son of yours squandered all of his wealth." I want to say this for a second. The son of yours? He's your brother. It wasn't as if he said, "Dad, brother over here goes out and does this, and then I..." Now he says, "This son of yours." It's an open disrespect of authority. There's two pictures of contempt in this story. One is in verse 29, the way he addresses his father. "Look!" It's disrespectful. The second is the way he addresses his brother. And this expression that's used here, "this son of yours," would have been instantaneously recognized by the hearers of that day as open contempt. Notice how the father turns the tables of responsibility on the older son. Why, he says, "this son of yours." And he turns around and says, "son." Now, in our language, those are the same words, but in the original language, it's a different word. And while he's using that word of contempt, "this son of yours," he turns, the father turns to him and says, "son." It's a different word. It's a word that literally means child. It's a word that of an endearing term. In other words, your brother, he's your brother, and you must take responsibility. But the spirit of the elder brother is a spirit of contempt. Notice number 7, it's an unforgiving and bitter spirit. He says, "listen, this son of yours, as soon as he goes out and he lives in all this riot, wild, righteous living, and as soon as he comes back," here's the bottom line. The older brother stayed and doesn't want the other younger brother to be forgiven. It's an unforgiving and bitter spirit. "Okay, you took off and you left me here. My chores doubled. I got stuck with all the responsibility and I stayed. And when I stayed and I come in after working hard, the party's going on for you." It's an unforgiving spirit. You see, he's figured out that his brother needs to be repentant. Not just to be repentant, he needs to serve some time for the crime that he's done. Isn't it funny sometimes how we love to receive the mercy of Jesus and yet turn around and be so unmerciful to those around us? We want to be like that person who went to the person who loaned them some money and said, "God, be merciful to me. I can't pay this back," and they're forgiven the debt. And then they turn around and take something someone owes them so small and throws them into prison so they can pay it back. There's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of bitterness in the heart of these spirit of the elder brothers. Someone said this, "You're never more like Christ than when you forgive. And you're never more like Satan than when you're bringing up someone's past." Did you hear that? Never more like Christ than when you forgive. Never more like Satan than when you bring up someone's past. Let me tell you something. This elder brother, you know what he's doing? All he's doing is bringing up the past. "Look! This son of yours, look what he's done. He's done this, he's done that, he's doing this, he's done that." He's bringing up the past. It's an unforgiving spirit. I almost hear the older brother saying, "You know, you shouldn't have given him a party right away. You should have made him prove himself." You ever heard that in the church? Well, we'll see if that's real or not. Let's see how they act now. Let's see this and let's see that. And it's an unforgiving and bitter spirit. Number 8, it's a critical, condemning, and comparative spirit. A critical, condemning, and comparative spirit. The Pharisees defined sin primarily in terms of outward actions, not inward attributes or inward attitudes. It's interesting, and the actual story makes no mention of prostitutes. You know that? It just said he wandered from the Father. He went out and spent his living. Okay? It doesn't say prostitutes. But you know what? We've got this unforgiving, bitter spirit in the spirit of the elder brother, who's critical, condemning, and comparative spirit. While he's comparing himself to his brother, and he's pointing out all these things, the brother's critical both of his brother and his father. People with the elder brother spirit are usually critical and comparative with just about everyone. Man, they can see everything wrong with everyone else, and they can't begin to see the sin that lies within themselves. Number 9. The spirit of the elder brother is a selfish and greedy spirit. Notice verse 31. My son, that child of endearment. It's a different word than that's used when the son says, your son. He says, my son, the father said, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. With you always. And all that I have is yours. Remember he's out in the field, verse 25? But for all the wrong reasons. Instead of focusing on what he had, all he could think about was what his brother was getting. The return of the younger son should have been zero threat to this elder brother. Because as you remember in the stories, in the biblical stories, the oldest son always received what? A double portion of the blessing. A double portion of the inheritance. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau. It shouldn't have been zero threat to this elder brother because as you read the text, the father distributed his wealth to the son. He gave to his elder son a double portion. It was given off to him. The younger son got his portion. He went out and he blew it. The double portion was completely secure with the elder brother. It wasn't like this party was coming from his future inheritance. He already had been given a double portion, and it wasn't coming out of his account. But he's selfish, and he's greedy. He can't look at this and go, well, I've gotten a double portion, he got one, okay, let him have a party. All he can look at with greed and bitterness and selfish ambition is all this stuff that happens to him, and I don't get anything. Lastly, it's an irrational spirit. The spirit of the elder brother is an irrational spirit. The father says to the son, you've always been with me, and all that I have is yours. And then he says this, I love this. It was right that we kill the fatted calf. See the problem with the spirit of the elder brother? You cannot reason with these people. What's right? And what's wrong? I mean, I'd like to think that we could pull together the spirit, the people with the spirit of the elder brother and say, okay, look, let's just step back here a second. You know, let's be a peacemaker as we're studying here in our Beatitudes together, Brother Mark. Let's be a peacemaker. Okay, you got the double portion and he got one portion and he was lost. He spent everything and your father's so excited. He's pouring out, bringing the fatted calf and it's a good thing. You still got your portion and the fatted calf's not coming out of your account and all those kind of things. And it was right because he was lost and he's now been found and we wanted to let everyone know that he's okay. And you just can't rationalize with the spirit of the elder brother. And you know what? He would never, ever go in. People who have the spirit of the elder brother have a tendency to focus more on their rights rather than what is right. Their rights versus what is right. The wrong that they perceive has been done to them. It blinds them of the wrong that they are doing. It's absolutely impossible to reason with the spirit of the elder brother. You see, the spirit of the elder brother is an angry spirit. It's a stubborn and rebellious spirit. It's an arrogant spirit, a spirit of contempt, a spirit of unforgiving and bitterness, a critical and condemning and comparative spirit. It's a resentful spirit. It's a negative spirit. It's a selfish and greedy spirit. It's an irrational spirit. Now remember the context of the story? Verses 1 and 3. Let me read it back to you again. That's why I read it. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. There are two groups of people in this story that hear these three parables, the son, the coin, and the sheep. The tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees and the hypocrites. Now listen to this. The younger son represents the tax collectors and sinners. The older son represents the Pharisees and the hypocrites. Remember the other night on missionary night, I preached on the parable of my three sons, but there was only two sons in the story. And Jesus concluded that story in Matthew chapter 21 by this. Which of the two did the will of his heavenly Father? The first they answered, and he sure said to them, tax collectors and harlots are entering the kingdom of God before you. You get it? The older son, the younger sons, who went out and lived riotously and are coming back to the Father, are coming into the kingdom of God before the spirit of the elder brothers and sisters who sit back and say, I never, you never. Verse 32 is interesting because the parable leaves open whether the older son will respond to his father's appeal and plea. We have no idea in this story whether he ever came inside. And while we don't know his answer or his later actions, listen to this. We can know ours. The same father who ran out to meet the prodigal son came out to meet the prideful son. Grace was available to all who would repent. Grace pleads, enter in. Enter in. In every one of these stories, in every one of these parables, in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the first lost son, there's tremendous joy and celebration over what was lost that's been entered in and been found. Except for the spirit of the elder brother. There's no joy. There's no satisfaction. A lot of legalism. But no joy. Everyone in this chapter experienced joy except the elder brother. Can I say something to us today? If the spirit of the elder brother describes your heart this morning, don't stay outside. Come on in. Enter into the joy, the full joy of your salvation. This parable teaches us something interesting about the Trinity. The shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep represents Jesus, who's willing to go out and seek after and save the lost. In the parable of the lost coin, it's the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates and exposes and convicts and sheds light. But in the parable of the lost sons, it's God the Father who comes out to greet and to meet you right where you are and ask you to repent and to come on in.